We're glad you're able to join us again this Wednesday evening for our Bible study and prayer meeting. We trust the Lord will bless our coming together. We're looking forward to being back in church on the Lord's Day again. We trust that you'll be able to join us then. You'll have the confidence to come back, and be safe for you to come back again as more and more people are now being vaccinated and more people feel comfortable maybe coming out again. We trust that will happen for you as well. You'll be able to join with us, with your family, and with the family of God and the house of God on this coming Lord's Day, Easter Sunday. Do remember too, of course, on Saturday night is the special missionary rally at 7:30. You'll get it online from our Ballymena Church, and that will bring updates on our missionary work right across the world, part of our Easter Convention, which has been done virtually this year, of course. And then Easter Monday at 6:30, there's a kids' club. That's online again, sermon audio from Martyrs Memorial. And then 7:30 will be a special convention meeting, and the moderator, Reverend Armstrong, will be the preacher at that. And various reports of God's work will be given then. Of course, we'll be thinking about the 70th anniversary of the Free Presbyterian Church just passed there a few weeks ago, and then also the centenary of Northern Ireland, 100 years of the state of Northern Ireland. And so we've much to give thanks for. We trust you'll remember those events online, 7:30 Saturday from Ballymena, sermon audio, probably Facebook as well, no doubt. And the same on Monday night, this time for Martyrs, 7:30, and the Kids Club, 6:30. So remember these meetings and trust you'll be able to join those services. Returning again to God's Word in our survey of the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 1, and reading together from the verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you, by them which have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Let's bow together in prayer. Our gracious God and loving eternal Father in heaven, we come to consider thy word for our hearts tonight. And we pray that by the Holy Spirit thou wilt take of the things of Christ and reveal them unto us. That thou wilt show us old things and new things in thy word. That thou wilt enlighten us and illuminate the pages of Holy Scripture to our hearts. And help us to hide thy word in our hearts, lest we should sin against thee. We pray for that building up in our holy faith. How we need to be strengthened. How we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that thou wilt help us in these days, that we might stand faithful and true to the crown rights of King Jesus and the crown jewels of his glorious gospel. We pray, O God, that thou wilt enable us and help us. Give us a hunger and thirst after righteousness. For blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We pray that thou wilt fill us with thy fullness, even tonight. That thou wilt bless us. Bless the people who meet in their own homes around thy word. And we pray that, Lord, they might be like sponges. And, Lord, that they might take in and be saturated with thy word. And grant, Lord, that the word of God will be written upon every heart. Meet with us, Lord, we pray. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. We come to this study 21. It's amazing, isn't it? All these weeks and months that we have been in the New Testament scriptures. I trust it's been a blessing and a help to you as we've sought to survey these New Testament books. We're in 1 Peter tonight. And the believers to whom 1 Peter wrote were faced with many challenges, as we are faced with many challenges in our day-to-day experience in life. Being Jews, they had to endure suspicion from both Gentiles and Jews. And they found themselves under intense, immense, and insistent pressure. In writing to them, Peter the Apostle, he dealt with matters of the most basic importance to them and to their testimony. He was seeking to help them and to aid them in the situation in which they found themselves. He gave to them clear doctrinal instruction, along with forthright practical guidance, uplifting spiritual encouragement, to raise them out of the mental and spiritual oppression that was caused by relentless persecution. In doing all of this, the apostle expounded the fundamental doctrine and the fundamental duty of the Christian. And the fundamental doctrine is the doctrine of salvation. And you'll find that in the first chapter here of 1 Peter, Chapter 1, verse 1, and going on through to chapter 2, verse 10. And then you have the fundamental duty, and that is subjection to the Lord in all things. And you'll find that in the rest of the book of 1 Peter, from chapter 2, verse 11, to the end of the epistle, chapter 5, verse 14. 1 Peter is a book all about the trials and triumphs of the Christian. And the first thing we notice in this epistle is the description. It is a description of what a true Christian really is. Chapter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. We have the election of the Father. The sanctification or the effectual call of the Spirit. You have the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of Calvary. And these are the reasons we are Christians. You'll notice in chapter 1, verse 20, the apostle here says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these times for you. The purpose of the Father leads directly to the sacrifice of the Son. And God in His eternal purpose had so purposed it that the Lord Jesus Christ would come into this world and to give His life upon the altar of Calvary as a sacrifice for sinners. In chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, the apostle says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And a true Christian is one redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. And many of us tonight, if not all of us, could say that we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. If you cannot say that, it is our prayer that even tonight, in listening in to this Bible study, that you will come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be washed in that precious blood. Chapter 2, verse 24, the apostle says this, who his own self, referring to Christ, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. The Lord Jesus Christ taking upon his own body on that cruel tree, on that cross at Calvary, our sins, in order that we might be saved. Chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And here is what a Christian is. A sinner transformed by the grace of the triune God, chosen in Christ, redeemed by the precious blood, and regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Are you a Christian tonight? Are you truly saved? Have you known the redeeming power of the precious blood? Know what it is to be chosen in Christ and regenerated by the Holy Spirit. But then not only notice the description here, but we notice the declarations in this epistle. And there are several of these in this epistle which indicate that the person transformed by the grace of God is in a new relationship. A new relationship. You see, the Bible teaches us here that Christians are God's temple. Chapter 2, verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. A spiritual house. God's temple. And tying in with this, we have 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verse 19, and these are the words. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? We are God's temple. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. As the children of God, the Spirit of God resides and abides within the heart of those who are truly saved. We are God's temple. But the second thing is that we are God's people. Chapter 2, verse 9 of 1 Peter. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. A peculiar people. Chosen by God, born of the Spirit, purchased by Christ, the special people of God, God's peculiarly purchased people, the people of His possession, God's people. And what a wonderful thing it is to be numbered amongst God's peculiar people, those whom He has set apart to be His, to be part of His family. To be those that are in the family of God. Christians are God's temple. Christians are God's people. But Christians are God's priests. Chapter 2, verses 5 and 9. It talks there again about being that spiritual house and holy priesthood. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Going down to verse 9 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood. A royal priest. As God's priests, Christians enter into his presence to worship, to minister, to serve through the merits of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have access to the very throne of God, into the very presence of God. And what a wonderful blessing, and what a wonderful privilege it is to be God's temple, God's people, and God's priests, having access right into his presence. And these are the results of the grace of God in making us Christians. Here is what a Christian really is. And so we have, first of all, the description, and secondly, the declarations, and then we have, thirdly, the demonstration, the marks of a true Christian. You see, there will be clear evidence that a person is truly saved. There will be the clear manifestations and marks of those who are truly the children of God. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, the first thing is that a person who's truly saved is born again. The new birth has taken place, being born of God, being born of the Spirit, being born from above. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in speaking to Nicodemus in the third chapter of John, spoke about this very matter of the new birth. And except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit, being born again. And so, going down this chapter to verse 23, it says, being born again, there you have it, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then over to chapter 2 of 1 Peter and verse 2. Chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. He's talking about being born into the family. And so we're babes in the family of God. We've been born again into that family. And as babes in Christ, we desire the sincere milk of the word that we might grow. And then over to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world through lust. You see, we are partakers of the divine nature, being born from above, being born of God, being born into God's family. We are partakers of his nature. And so the first thing is, we're born again. The second thing is that the person who's truly a Christian is a believer. A believer. Again, going back to 1 Peter and chapter 1, verse 21, it says this, to him who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead. Believe in God. Believers. We are believers in the gospel of Christ. It's not just a head belief, but it is a heart belief. It is a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, truly believing, truly trusting in him as our own and personal Savior. And so a person who's truly a Christian is born again. And secondly, they're a believer. But thirdly, they're a lover of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lover of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8 of chapter 1. It says, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Loving the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And someone that we love is precious to us. And to them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. The Lord Jesus Christ is precious. We love him who first loved us. And any person to whom Christ is not precious is not a Christian. Is Christ precious to you tonight? Precious to me? Precious to me. Jesus, my Savior, is precious to me. And a true Christian lives in the light of who and what he is. And that simplifies life for a Christian. We live, first of all, in happiness. Chapter 1, verse 6. It speaks there about rejoicing, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Amid all the troubles we face, and we face many, the great truths of the gospel never change and never fail. And therefore the Christian lives in happiness, holding on to the promises of God's word, resting in God, relying upon him, looking to him in every situation of life. Happiness. Christian lives in happiness. Christian lives in holiness. Chapter 1, verse 15. It says, but as he with it called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. The word conversation refers not only to the things we say, but the things we do. It refers to our general behavior. So we live in holiness. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, laying aside all malice, all guile and hypocrisy and envies, and all evil speakings. All things that are unholy and are sinful. Chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And so the believer who's truly saved by God's grace abstains from the life of the flesh. Doesn't walk in the flesh, but he walks in the Spirit. And again, chapter 2, verse 21. It says here, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. Leave us an example that we should follow in his steps. And so as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and we follow his example, we follow a pathway of holiness. Without holiness, said Paul, shall no man see the Lord. So it's a pathway of happiness and holiness, and then it's also one of humility. Chapter 2, verses 13 and 18. Chapter 2, verses 13 and 18. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. And then going down to verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. And so we have to have that spirit of humility, being in submission to the powers that be, and even to those for whom we have responsibility in the course of our lives as servants. Chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. If any obey not the word, they also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. And so the wives are to be in subjection. It is a pathway of humility. As far as the Christian is concerned. Chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility. You see where this is all going? Subjection, submission, humility. Be clothed with humility as one is clothed with a garment. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humility. Happiness, holiness, humility. And then hope. Again, surely the Christian lives in hope. And chapter 1, verse 13. Chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The hope that we have in Christ. And the hope of his coming, when we go to Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, we see what it says there. And it says this, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Christian is looking for the day of Christ's return. That's our hope. It's not some flimsy hope in this world. It's not some thing of speculation or conjecture. No, it is something that is based upon the Word of God and upon what the Bible teaches us. And so we have the demonstration, the marks of a true Christian. But then we have the darkness of adversity. Why do true Christians suffer? Simply because the world cannot understand them or their Christianity. Look at chapter 4 and verse 4 of 1 Peter. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. The world can't understand why we don't run with them. Why don't we do the things that they do? Go to the places that they go to. Live the lives that they live. Dabble in the sins of the world that they dabble in. They can't understand. And so they persecute the Christian. They revile the Christian. They ridicule the Christian. Chapter 2, verse 11. It says this. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims. We're strangers in this world. We're pilgrims in this world, just passing through. The Christian suffers because they are called to bear the cross of Christ. We're called to bear the cross of Christ. We're to follow Christ. Follow his example. Take up our cross and follow him. Denying ourselves, following in his steps. We've already referred to that verse there in 1 Peter 2, verse 21. The Lord Jesus Christ was hated. The Lord Jesus Christ was despised when he walked upon the scene of time. And he was back walking upon the scene of time in 2021. He would be despised and ridiculed again. The world would show hostility toward him today every bit as much as they did in the day when he walked upon the scene of time, when he lived upon this earth. And so we have to remember that we have to suffer tribulation in this world. It's the cross that leads to the crown. Another reason why Christians suffer is that being tested in our faith brings glory to God both now and eternally. Look at chapter 1, verse 7. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. What glory there is awaiting those who are tried, awaiting those who are tested. How do believers overcome in the midst of such darkness and difficulty? Such times of such challenge and such persecution and such hostility in this ever-increasing secular world in which we live. Let us again underline chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Having the mind of Christ. That this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Think as Christ did about suffering and adversity. Chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. As some strange thing happened unto you. Don't think it as a strange thing. Expect that you will face trials. Chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. The sufferings of Christ. Think about his sufferings. Think about what he endured. And surely this is how the true child of God triumphs in the midst of trouble. And then we not only have the darkness, but we have the delight. What final joy there is for the child of God. Chapter 1, verse 3 of this epistle of 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What joy! A final joy that there is for the child of God. The lively hope that is ours. Chapter 14 of John's Gospel, verse 19. Chapter 14 of John's Gospel in verse 19, it says this: Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. What life is ours beyond this life? What a hope we have in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and being with him for all eternity. And here is the ground of our assurance. Our hope rests in the one who died and rose again from the dead, as he had promised. Chapter 1, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. He's coming back again to lead us into the full possession of our inheritance. What a day that will be. Chapter 5, verse 1 speaks of that. Talks about partaking of the glory that shall be revealed. And then verse 10 of chapter 5, it says, But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. We're called unto this eternal glory. What delight! This is the climax, dear friend, of God's grace. This is the pinnacle of the Christian's triumph. Oh, how we rejoice in that tonight. How we praise God for all that has taught us in this epistle. All that is brought before us in relation to the challenges that we face. But also for the triumphs that are ours in Christ. And may we truly delight in him and look forward to that final joy. And may God bless this epistle and trust. I trust that you will study it for yourself, the five chapters. Get a chapter summary for each chapter. And seek to study through this book and be blessed. It's a short epistle, five chapters. It won't take you long to study it through, to read it through, to take each chapter or some verses in each chapter. Don't try to study it all at once, but take time over it. Meditate in God's word day and night. You may look for a key verse or key verses. I have chosen chapter 4, verse 13 of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4, verse 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. As we think about the trials that are confronting us and that confronted the people to whom Peter wrote, I think that this is indeed a key verse in the context of this epistle. Is our prayer that by the aid of the Holy Spirit, you will get a deeper understanding of this epistle and seek to study it and its details more fully in the days to come. May God bless his word to our hearts. We come to the place of prayer. We encourage you to pray, to seek God's face. Remember, as we come back to church again, and pray that the Lord will help you. We know it's easy to fall into carelessness, complacency, and to get into inconsistency and to think, well, I could just stay at home. I don't need to go out to church anymore. And that's the devil tempting you to do that. And if you're safe and you're able to come, and I know for some it still will be a little while before you can come, and we understand that, but we do trust that if you can come, you'll not sit at home. Or you not keep your family at home. You have responsibility, parents, to your children, to bring them out to the house of God morning and evening. And I trust that you will do that. And remember, God has spoken to us through this lockdown and how hard it has been for many. But let us remember that God speaks to us as his children as well. We can say, oh, the Lord's speaking to the unsaved, and he is. But the Lord's speaking to us as his children, not to be complacent, to be more consistent, and to give ourselves more wholly to the Lord and to his service, to his work. Do pray in relation to the work of God. Pray for our missionaries tonight, missionaries across the world, those at home. Pray for the needs of our mission board. Remember the missionary rally we've mentioned on Saturday night, 7:30 online from Ballymena? You can link onto that in sermon audio. Remember the convention meeting for martyrs Monday night at 7:30 and the kids' club for the children at 6:30. Do pray and do remember the services here in the Lord's Day. 11:30, the doors open from 11 to meet together again. And then in the evening time around the Lord's table, the doors open from 6 and the meeting around the Lord's table from 6:15 for all who know and love the Saviour. And then the doors open again for others who want to come in from 6:45, around about that time, and then the meeting at 7. Do pray that God will meet with us and bless us around His Word. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Your Word tonight. We pray that You'll apply it to our hearts. We pray that You'll give us a burden for the place of prayer, Lord, to seek Your face and to call upon Your name. We think of the great need of the missionaries across the world. We pray that Thou wilt minister, Lord, to those needs. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless our missionary enterprise, both at home and abroad. And we pray that Thou wilt meet every need of our missionaries in these days, and our mission board, and all the decisions that have to be made, and all the challenges that there are for the future. We pray that Thou wilt guide us and lead us, and lead us forward in Thy will, that we might seek to extend Thy kingdom, and Lord, bring souls into the fold and family of God. We look to Thee, O God, that Thou wilt bless the church at home too. Keep Your hand upon our own church as we open again for our services this coming Lord's Day. We pray for help in the preaching of Your Word. Bless the ministry to the boys and girls, my brother James, and bless us as we bring the messages in morning and evening. Bless us around Your table as Your people. We pray that, Lord, we'll be able to safely gather this Lord's Day. The hand of God will be upon us. And our congregation will get back to the house of God as it is safe for them to do so. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt lead us forward in the days to come. Deliver us from getting into this complacency and inconsistency and carelessness and thinking, oh, well, we don't really need to go to church. We can sit at home. But Lord, we pray that people who can will come. Your people will be stirred as never before. The place of prayer. And, O God, for the worship of God, and grant that we might move forward to reach souls in our community with the gospel of Christ. Remember those who are ill at this time. Think of our sister Dorothy. We pray for healing for her and restoration. Remember Hugh Senior. Remember Hugh Junior. And remember Christine. Remember all the family. Comfort them and help them at this time. Be near to Thy servant. Restore her fully to health and strength again, if it is Your will. Remember Mary as she goes through the treatments. Be with her too and touch her. We pray that she may know Thy grace is sufficient for her. Remember her husband and family. Remember also Carr. We pray for Thy servant, Lord, that Thou wilt be with him in hospital. Remember also, O God, his wife mourning, and help her, and help the family. And others who have illness problems, those who are elderly and cannot get out even at any time to church, we pray that Thou wilt be with all such. Remember our land and its desperate need. We pray for Thine intervention. Thou wilt rise up to help, to save and to deliver, and grant that great things will be accomplished in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that mighty things will be done in these days, right across our land and right across the world, for the glory and praise and honor of Thy name. We ask these things in Jesus' name, for God's eternal glory. Amen. We encourage you now in your own homes to seek the Lord's face. And thank you for joining us online tonight. May God bless you. We hope to see you all on the Lord's Day, God willing.